it's over to the news desk with Rach Gomez and Abel Vasquez. But first, we're going to take a look at today's headlines.
No imperialist policy will deter Cuba.
New train services starting in Cuba.
United States to be the world's second Spanish-speaking country in 2060.
Bolsonaro wants his son to be ambassador to U.S., but Brazilian diplomats don't.
And now for the news in detail.
Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel delivered the closing remarks to the third ordinary session of the National Parliament, which passed three laws last Saturday and elected the National Electoral Council, among other items on its agenda, after an intense week of work for lawmakers. The Cuban head of state urged fellow citizens to think as a country and to all of those who love the revolution to give themselves body and soul to the services of the nation, taking greater advantage of what he described as the revolution's most formidable and powerful strength, its unity. In his address, President Miguel Díaz-Canel called on all citizens to take advantage of all the opportunities that open up for the national economy, be it in the business sector, the budgeted sector, or the private sector, and untie the knots that tied it up. The president highlighted the importance of the three laws that were approved during this session of the parliament: the Electoral Law, the National Symbols Law, and the Fisheries Law, after ample consultation processes. The Cuban leader said that Cuba perseveres despite the limitations deriving from the reinforcement of U.S. economic blockade, subversion, and campaigns to discredit its revolution. President Díaz-Canel pointed out that the United States does not understand that 60 years of aggressions have not been able to break the Cuban Revolution. No imperialist policy will deter Cuba, he stressed. Today, he added, the call to defend the nation is indispensable. The Cuban people is a wise people and has always reacted in all intelligent fashion, following the legacy of the historical leaders of the revolution, Fidel and Raúl Castro. Along with that anti-imperialism that we carry in our veins, resulting from the suffering inflicted upon us for more than a century by the powerful neighbor who despises and attacks us, it is also necessary to feed the socialist sentiment that the revolution sowed in our people in the struggle to conquer all the justice that José Martí bequeathed to us, he said. As part of that thinking, he urged public officials to serve the people, keeping in a permanent vigilance on people's views, using all the tools that can warn on time when something is missing or failing. In his address, the Cuban president expressed the island's support to the Bolivarian Revolution. He also announced that he will deliver the key address of the 26th of July celebration that will be held in Granma province and will provide feedback on the implementation of recently announced economic package that, among other measures, meant a pay raise to the budgeted sector.
The first train using new equipment from China pulled out of Havana on Saturday, hauling excited passengers on the start of a 915-kilometer journey to the eastern city of Santiago de Cuba. The 13 gleaming Chinese cars and a locomotive departed the city's La Cubre train station and wended their way through nine cities before ending in Santiago de Cuba at 9:15 Sunday morning. It marks a first step on an overhaul Cuban authorities started early last year, repairing about 4,200 kilometers of aging tracks and dozens of tumble-down stations scattered around the island. A new service from Havana to Holguín is starting as of this Monday. Cuba received a shipment of 80 new train carriages and locomotives in early May, part of a promised consignment of 250 pieces of equipment by the end of this year. The government hopes a revamp of the system will restore one of Latin America's first countrywide rail services, heavily used to move goods and people around the nation.
But By the year 2060, the United States will become the second most numerous Spanish-speaking country after Mexico, according to a study released by the Cervantes Institute in Madrid, Spain. According to this research, called The Future of the Spanish Language in the World, potential users of Spanish exceeded 580 million, a figure which includes native speakers, limited competition speakers, and foreign language learners. This prospect makes Spanish the third language in the global ranking after English and Chinese. For demographic reasons, the percentage of the world population speaking Spanish as a native language is increasing, while the proportion of Chinese, English, and French speakers is decreasing. In this sense, the weight of the Spanish-speaking community will be higher than it is currently. Nearly 1 in 3 U.S. inhabitants will be Hispanic by the year 2060. At present, the U.S. is a developed country where Spanish is by far the most studied language at all levels of education. In other Anglophone nations, Spanish is also seen as one of the most influential languages. For example, in the UK, there will be more students of Spanish than French in the next decade. Something similar occurs in 19 of the 28 European Union countries, where Spanish is already the language that most people would like to learn as a second language. Due to demographic and cultural trends, France, Sweden, and Italy are the European countries where Spanish is the most studied language in upper secondary education. Globally, about 22 million people are actively learning Spanish as a foreign language in 2019. French and Chinese Mandarin occupy the second position in the rank of more studied languages.
Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro announced he will appoint his son, 35-year-old Eduardo Bolsonaro, ambassador to the United States. Speaking to reporters Saturday, Bolsonaro Jr. said the decision is still being discussed between his father and the foreign minister, Ernesto Araújo. However, if it is a mission given by the president, I would accept. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee and the full upper house must both approve the appointment to make it official. Anonymous source from Brazil's foreign ministry told The Guardian, most of the colleagues are perplexed and in a shock, not only because it's a case of nepotism, but also because he does not have the qualifications for the job. Just days after his son turned 35, the head of state said he would consider Eduardo for the prestigious position. Before media personnel, he defended his opinion, but added, that's for the Supreme Court to decide. It is not nepotism. I would never do that, President Bolsonaro claimed. Former Brazilian ambassador to China, Japan, and Paraguay, Luiz Castro Neves, said the president's choice was surprising, describing Eduardo as diplomatically naive. I have spoken to some people who have participated in meetings with him, and they were taken aback by how self-abasing he was. He was basically saying, whatever you want, he will give it to you, said the seasoned diplomat. In Washington, you don't do that, Castro added. Eduardo is the president's third son and has taken on an active political role in the government, working first as a Congress member and, with the help of his dad, edging towards international relations. According to Bolsonaro, his male offspring has counseled him several times on international affairs during his few months as president. One of the senior Bolsonaro sons, Carlos, is in charge of the president's social media communications, while Flavio, the oldest, is a senator.
And if you've just joined us, this is Radio Vancouver's English language broadcast for this Monday, the 15th of July. Now back to the news with Rach and Abel.
The 28th contingent of the Juan Rios Rivera Solidarity Brigade hailing from Puerto Rico is starting Monday its official activities in Cuba. The group is made up of 88 people who are dedicating their presence in Cuba this year to Puerto Rico's independence heroine Lolita Lebron, whose centennial is being marked this year. On Tuesday, the brigade members will participate in a day of solidarity with Puerto Rico organized by the Cuban Institute of Friendship with the Peoples, ICAP, with a forum entitled A People in Struggle, Resistance and Solidarity, with the participation of María de Lourdes Santiago, Vice President of the Puerto Rican Independence Party, and Milagro Rivera, leader of the Juan Ríos Rivera Brigade. The brigade will be based in the Julio Antonio Mella camp in Caimito, west of Havana, where on July 17 they will hold a day of denunciation of the economic, commercial, and financial blockade of the United States against Cuba. The brigade also celebrates the 500th anniversary of the Cuban capital and the 200th anniversary of the city of Cienfuegos. The brigade is named after Juan Ríos Rivera, a Puerto Rican who reached the highest military rank during Cuba's 19th century First Independence War and to hold ministerial offices of the island after 1902.
Residents of Santa Clara are celebrating the 330th anniversary of the Cuban central city this Monday, July 15th. They converge at the El Carmen Park, the place where the original village was founded in 1689, to mark the occasion and to pay tribute to the city's benefactor, Marta Abreu. Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel, a native of the city, was present at the ceremony. "It was here where we had the first notion of homeland, revolution, and of socialism. Here we learned to honor our heritage of Cuban and universal values, from Marta Abreu to Che Guevara, Fidel, and Raúl," he wrote on Twitter. "The municipal government will hold a solemn session to acknowledge individuals that have contributed to the development of the city. The celebrations have included street festivals, art fairs, concerts, the launching of books, and fashion shows. On the eve, a special artist gala was held with the presence of the island's Minister of Culture, Alpidio Alonso, and top authorities of Villa Clara province. Santa Clara is known as well as the city of Ernesto Che Guevara. His remains and those of his fellow comrades in arms rest at the memorial in the city. The Argentine-Cuban guerrilla fighter led the rebel army contingent that freed the city from the control of the troops of dictator Fulgencio Batista in December of 1958.
And once again, our headlines for today.
No imperialist policy will deter Cuba.
New train services starting in Cuba.
United States to be the world's second Spanish-speaking country in 2060.
Bolsonaro wants his son to be ambassador to US, but Brazilian diplomats don't.